So I see you got, what was that, an electric toothbrush you got in the bathroom?
Oh, my God. But did we talk about this already?
I don't think so.
I got an electric toothbrush because my dentist, I have an appointment soon, and they said that I have to, like, that a regular, my teeth are so bad that a regular toothbrush doesn't cut it.
Oh, yeah?
So now I have to take the Vorbeck. I think I told you, like, I had an incident where it sprayed everywhere.
You might have, actually.
Yeah, it, like, 3 episodes ago. But it
that was, like, back in, like, July at this rate.
Yeah, so I have a water pick. I stick it up my ass, and then I put it in my mouth to clean my teeth every night. It's like you could do a colonoscopy and clean your teeth at the same time.
You know, it's very nice to be time-effective. Like that.
Yes.
Being
yes.
Very efficient with your time, you know.
I charge it over here, right here, this outlet.
Look at that.
And now I know where to aim the hole.
Right.
Because before, I didn't know where the hole was, and it went everywhere, and my bathroom was like the Titanic.
Well, that's what happens when you shoot your shot and it misses the hole. You know, it's
you know what I heard today, by the way?
What's that?
I heard that the term asshole, it's really not so much about the hole, it's about the ass, you know?
Oh,
like,
really?
There's a lot more ass than the hole.
Right, right.
So, when you say asshole, I mean, like, I feel like the ass is really the whole picture.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I guess the audience didn't know this. Anyway, we went from water picks to assholes really quick.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're with you live at the moment.
At the moment. We are not dead.
We're not dead with our what has become a monthly series.
We don't know. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, Danny was pretty busy for a while. He's got his show going on, which, let me tell you, I don't typically go see shows. This one's fucking awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Danny's fucking phenomenal in it.
Thank you very much.
And he plays a 75-year-old guy.
77.
Oh, 77.
Let's call a spade a spade. Yeah, no, I'm in a good show. Everybody, see, the thing about the show is that everybody's is on their A game, you know, which is very rare around here.
Yeah.
Usually you have like a few people that are, you know, the levels, but in this case, everybody, and it's pretty weird to actually be in a show where everybody's great.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
Even in New York, it doesn't happen often.
It's true.
And so that's why, and you know, and it's directed well, and the whole thing is good, yeah.
And I, my significant other has a substantial role. She's excellent.
Right, and she's playing my daughter, and I'm playing her father. The whole thing is really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So basically, you're dating my daughter.
Right, so I didn't ask your permission.
No, you didn't. And I feel very hurt.
So, well, we're going to make this official on the air, sir.
Yeah.
Even though I'm already doing it, can I date your daughter?
No! No, no. I'm sorry. Oh, let's start again. Okay. Ask again.
Sir.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, but thanks for asking. See, I just want the respect. When you get to be 77... You know, you just want the respect. But you were ready. I mean, I feel stupid now because you know. But anyway, it is very convoluted. That I mean, I'm older than you just by a few, you know, 2 years or something. And the fact that your girlfriend is, I'm her father is so complicated on so many levels.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is great. Actually, it sucks for me because I don't have a lot of scenes with her. And I've always wanted to act with her because we... You know, we've been doing theater for millions of years.
Yeah.
And we never actually did a play together. So I have a few scenes with her.
So is this the first play you've done?
Yeah. First play I've ever done with...
Really?
With, yeah. Yeah. Oh. And I've been around for a while. I've been around for 77 years. So it's weird. But, you know, it's a good play. I have a lot of problems with the play because my family came last Sunday. It was a whole, you know. You know, but, you know, what this show showed me, too, is how obsessive compulsive I am. Like, I'm really – I have to, like, gray up my hair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to do that. You have different brands, and some of them stick, and some of them – I smell. So I, you know, and I, you know, a normal person would just get one can of spray and call it a day. I have a fucking bag of like 30 million spray bottles.
And so the question is, what are you going to do with all that once the show's over?
Oh, maybe I'll get another, you know, now I'm playing 77 and maybe next play I'll play Death.
Yeah.
No, I'll play a fucking corpse. It'll be like Weekend of Bernie's, you know. They'll just drag my gray hair around, you know. Not only that, you know, I have to fucking wear slippers in the first act. And we didn't really think about this, because I have a lot of shoes that look like slippers. I thought I could get away with them. The costume designer, one night, she goes, like, you know, 2 days before we opened, oh, those look too modern. So I'm like, okay. So I thought I had slippers at home. I searched the fucking apartment that I live in 3 hours.
Oh, shit.
And I find one slipper. I can't find the other one. Mm-hmm. So now... now it's like opening night and I have to shop for fucking... I hate shopping. I have to go to Target, you know? And then I get slippers. I bring them home, okay? I put them on at the store and they felt comfortable. I bring them home and they're too big.
That's some bullshit.
Like, for some reason, my foot in the store felt comfortable here and I have to wear them for like 30 an hour. So it's too big. Too fucking big. So now I go back to the store. I get another pair of slippers, a size. I have 3 pairs of slippers now. 10 and a half, 11, and a 10.
You didn't return the...
No, I can't deal with receipts and people. I fucking... You know, I don't want to talk to people. I'd rather just buy money. Oh, my God. So then So that was a slipper issue, you know? Nothing is easy, man. You know? And then my aunt... she brought like 35 people on Sunday... And then, you know, I kept count and, you know, I was buying them on her credit card because for some reason she can't figure out the website of this theater. So I've been, you know, keeping an account, you know, and every day I get another email. Oh, you know, Debbie Mizell might show up, but she might not, but she might, you know. So I just keep buying, you know, because it might sell out. So anyway, the day before the fucking show, you know, then she calls, I talk to her on the phone, she goes, so how many people do you have in your account? I'm like, 35 people. She goes, really? I didn't buy, that's not true, I have 27. So then I have a big fight with her on the phone. I'm like, Ginny, if you, you know, I don't want to hear this, you know? And I'm like, if you end up losing money, I will pay you back. I will fucking pay you back not to have this conversation. I fucking, you know, and why can't she buy the fucking tickets? You know what I mean? She goes to Broadway all the time. She can somehow figure out the websites of the Broadway, but she can't figure out this little theater. So then I ended up, and then I buy some, and her credit card, then it gets declined. I bought like 10 tickets under my name.
Oh, shit.
I bought one for Gamer. I'm spending so much money on the guys in slippers and the hairspray cans and the people. I spent like $1 million. Fucking play! I'm not getting paid for it! I'm so angry!
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Anyway, it's a wonderful experience.
Sure.
It's a great, great. We have 2 more weekends.
Oh yeah. I'm coming Saturday and then I'm coming on closing night.
Oh, good.
And then I want to be the supportive boyfriend. I want to help strike the set.
That's good, because that's usually the time where I don't do anything.
Right, yeah.
I walk around, pretend to be, yeah. Because I can't. I failed woodshop in high school, you know.
Oh, man.
Well, that's good. That's nice of you. You're supportive to my daughter. That's very right. Nice. Oh, my God. I feel good now. I got that out of my system.
Yeah.
I fucking hate slippers. I don't need slippers. Like, I've lived a long time. I've never had. Do you have slippers at home?
I think I do, but I just haven't worn them in years.
I don't... I never had... You can have some of mine. I have like 3 pairs now.
That's all right.
No, really. I have 11, I have 10 and a half, and I have 10.
I'm 12.
Ah! You have 12? Really? 12?
Yeah.
Wow. That's like... You have elephant-sized feet.
Fucking amen. 6'2", frame, you know.
So actually, this is a good night of karma because we were talking about that you had a job like interview,
right?
And you didn't hear anything, and then we talked about this before the podcast, and then you suddenly got an email from them.
Yep.
So I feel like karma's in the air.
Karma is definitely in the air, and it smells pretty good.
Karma smells
like
good.
Maple syrup a little bit, you know.
Is there there's a person named Karma out there?
Karma,
like first name.
I'll bet. I bet there is Karma, and their last name is Pot. The question is what their last name is.
Smith?
Karma Smith.
Karma Smith.
Karma Jones.
I mean, like, that would be a really funny, like, if someone was named Karma and then they were very unlucky, that would be a very funny juxtaposition.
Very much
like,
so.
If I had a kid, I wouldn't call them Karma.
Yeah.
Because that would be, like, really labeling them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's just no reason to call a kid anything other than like Mike Smith or something like that.
Yeah, Mike Smith. Yeah. Mike Smith is a good guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I was talking about there. I'd saved this one thing for the show. You know, I was thinking, you know, I kind of wouldn't mind getting back up there on stage at some point, even though there's a part of me that just doesn't really like too many of the people at.
Oh.
In like the community, especially like the people who are on like the boards and there's too much condescension, too much bullshit, too much time spent. Plus, I was going to audition for the one Ripcord.
Okay,
I had an appointment set up because you had to like schedule an appointment like on a time slot. Mm-hmm. I had that all set,
mm-hmm.
But it actually turns out opening weekend,
right?
I'm gonna be going away with a certain
my daughter
with your daughter.
Yeah.
We're gonna be. It'll be my first trip out to the City of Angels.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't been to California?
Never been to California. She's got her. She's got the Turner Classic Movie Film Festival she goes to every year.
Yeah.
So it was like last week, I was like, I'm sitting at my desk at my office. I'm thinking, because we'd already talked about going next year together.
Right.
I'm sitting there at my desk. I'm thinking, why am I not going this year? Well, technically, she didn't invite me, but two, I was also like, I just automatically assumed I just wasn't going to go. So I go to her later that night. I'm like, I won't be able to get like, I'll only be able to get like the most basic pass possible, but
right.
Which would be opposed to me going. She got very excited at the prospect. So we're going to be doing that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. LA is great. And that, what month is that?
April.
Oh, April. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Good time. That's before the smog really hits the streets. Before you have the fires, the summer fires.
Right.
April's good safe month to go to L.A.
What's good is like she's gonna have she'll be going to a lot of the other stuff like with the film festival more than I'll be able to go to. So
yeah.
I'm actually gonna have quite a bit of time to myself. So we're gonna try to come up with things for me to do out there. One.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe I was thinking about trying to hook up with the Scientology cult.
Yeah.
And try to become like famous through that route. But apparently, according to her, that you actually have to give them a lot of your money. So I was like, fuck that. I won't do that.
Well, yeah. But who knows? Maybe they changed their rules. I don't know.
It's possible.
But it's right there on Hollywood Boulevard.
She says like right on the strip where...
Yeah.
We're gonna be.
Yeah, you go in there, you run immediately into John Travolta and Tom Cruise. They greet you at the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is hanging from an airplane, and John Travolta is kind of like dancing, you know? And he's like, hey, it's so weird, we've been waiting for you, you know? It's really weird. Like, it's almost like, it's like over here we have like all these, like, no offense to Muslims, but... You know, we have a lot of, like, Muslim places.
Right.
Like, in...
Mosques.
Mosques, mm-hmm. if you will. Like, in places where you don't think... Like, there's, like, a McDonald's and then there's a mosque, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very...
I hear they're very opportunistic people. You know, it's always good to... I feel like it... Well, I guess it depends on what came first, the McDonald's or the mosque.
Well, I mean, obviously, Ronald McDonald was a big Muslim.
Although technically, we never see him without his makeup, so it's possible he is.
Does he still exist? Like, you know, when I was a kid, they used to have like McDonald's commercials, and Ronald McDonald like was really.
Oh yeah.
And now I don't even know. Like, who
I think they like retired him or something like that for some bullshit reason.
British Mark, Ronald McDonald was a clown. I guess they have McDonald's in England, right?
Oh, yeah, they definitely do.
Yeah, so he was like the, what is it, the moss cat? The
mascot.
Mascot. God damn it. I think I'm dyslexic. Mascot. So, you know. Do you remember? Because you grew up in a different generation, the '80s, '90s. So like when I was a kid, we had like Kool-Aid. You know Kool-Aid.
I know Kool-Aid.
He used to like burst through the wall.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. right. So you remember that?
Well, it was funny. The very first episode of Family Guy.
Yeah.
There's a courtroom scene at the end, and then like the judge is like, I sentence you. I find you guilty. And they're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And all of a sudden, he bumps the person. He's like, oh, yeah. It's
so great. But you don't see Kool-Aid anymore.
Yeah, you don't see him anymore. You really don't see too many good things anymore. The world's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
I don't even think there is Kool-Aid as a drink anymore. Like, I don't...
Oh, you turned the... Oh.
I mean, I... There's...
I'm pretty sure I've seen it. I Now, next time I go to the store, I'm going to look for it intentionally.
Let's go right now. Yeah, no, but those commercials were big, you know, because back then, when I was a kid, we had like three channels, so you had to watch the commercial. Like now nobody watches commercials.
You just established earlier in the podcast that you're like only 2 or 3 years older than me.
Well, spiritually.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, but physically, whatever. I mean, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Actually, we got 22 listeners from the last episode.
Yeah, that was incredible. And yeah. I know that's not British Mark listening to us 22 times.
Unless he multiplied himself.
That's true. British Mark, what the fuck is going on?
What's going on?
How you been, man?
Yeah, it's almost like you're here, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what he posted a few days ago that, oh, God, I mean, there's nothing really. He's, you know, because I think he doesn't go out that often. So every time he sees a show in London, he makes a big post about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am about to take the train ride to London, where I will be seeing a band that nobody knows about, but I like.
You become Indian.
I know. Oh my god. Yeah. I'm assuming he's okay.
I guess he's fine. I mean, there's no way we would actually. There's no way I would really actually know. I did share a post like on Facebook the other day, something about Metallica's Master of Puppets album being like one of the best albums of all time, and he liked it. So thanks, British Mark.
Nice. Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, if it's not too much to ask, British Mark, if you could just send us like a carrier pigeon, note or something.
Yeah. Let us know you're alive
across the pond. You know, because we worry about you.
It's
you
true.
Know? But not really. He's got his life, you know. But he would probably be like, there's another episode of As Is. I didn't see this on my roster. I thought those guys were like defunct. Was that a word?
Defunct.
Yeah, you know, like
sort of like out of commission or something. Like
yeah.
That. So this Saturday. Going to have quite a bit of a clashing of worlds situation going on at the show.
Oh,
going to have my folks. Going to have Cliff. Going to have Gaber.
Oh God,
man! Well, imagine who else is going to show up.
Well, I don't know, but this is another thing that I've been going through. Is like I, you know, initially my aunt, you know, I bought like 40 million tickets for that one show, and then I had to exchange a lot of them.
Oh yeah.
So now my aunt's like housekeeper is coming on Friday with three of her Polish
lesbian?
Friends.
Huh? The lesbian?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, lesbian Polish people, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they keep changing. I mean, I'm so, and you know, and now, yeah, I'm probably going to have to buy more tickets because, like, to exchange tickets is very difficult if you didn't buy them on your credit card.
So this is
under my aunt's credit card, and you know she can't figure out how to. I don't want to deal with her at all. So, like, I'm going to just buy, like, you know. Like Jared and his wife. I'm going to, you know. And then my brother today, Jesus Christ. You know, he's like, today was a big day for us because there's a new Mark Knopfler song.
Oh, okay.
an album coming out in April when you're going to be in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I've lowered expectations for, like, new material by people that I like, you know, except for Michael McDermott, who's awesome. but, so, you know, the song came out today. It's okay. It's not great. It's okay. You know, you know, like, the last record was okay, you know? Like, in the
solo, his solo work, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dire Straits haven't been together in, you know, since 92.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, so my brother, you know, like, he texts me like one. So the song's been out. I've been up since fucking 4 a.m. today because I couldn't sleep last night. So I went to the gym at 5 a.m.
Fucking A.
And then I came back at 6, and then I see a notice, new Mark Knopfler song. I'm like, oh, okay. So I've known about this for like 24 hours. The song. My brother is a little slow, you know. So okay, so 1 p.m. he sends me a note, a text, as we say, a carrier pigeon. He goes, "Mark can do better." Like
that's
like,
all he said.
Well, he said no. First, he said, "I heard the play was great. Sorry, I can't make it. Mark can do better." You know, that like all cryptic, you know. And then I said, "It's not bad." Like, you know, like, so yeah. And then from then, it just like, you know, and then, you know, he just, you know, so he thought the play was for 1 weekend and that's it.
Oh, yeah.
So then at the end of this really strange text between us, he goes, "Oh, so how long was the play? Is the play going on for?" Like, he's had the flyer for like months with dates glaringly staring at his face. So then I'm like, you know, 2 more weekends, you know, 8 p.m. Friday, 8 p.m., and I spell everything out. Yeah. So, whatever, you know. I mean, you know, the play is a little emotional because my family really is from Brooklyn, you know. My grandfather, Jack, was kind of like my character in a way.
Oh, really?
Like, not, like, he was pretty grumpy, you know. So, like, you know, so in the program I wrote, you know, to my deceased grandparents and to my mom, they all came from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
I, as we know, we hate Brooklyn.
Fucking Brooklyn. Fucking bullshit.
Oh, Brooklyn is the worst.
My God.
I mean, but when I was a kid, I had to go there every Thanksgiving to my grandparents' house. And back then, I kind of liked it because, you know.
Was it better back then?
No.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of crazy Jews running around.
Oh, yeah.
I can say that as a Jewish person. You know, every episode, there's something that I say that could be misconstrued.
It's very true.
Yeah, but I could say crazy Muslim. So, anyway, you know, yeah. But, you know, so I used to, like, you know, when I came to the States, I would go immediately. My grandfather, Jack, would pick me up at the airport, you know, very stern. The flight was, like, an hour and a half late. You know, we've been standing here, me and your grandmother. You know, I'm like, sorry, I can't control the fucking flight. You know, I'm like 10 years old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first stop would be to go to their house in Brooklyn, and she would feed us Fruit Loops, you know. So, which we never had in Israel. So Fruit Loops was a huge, I was like, oh, this country, America, it's fantastic, you know. Like, we have, like, icky, sticky, like, Israeli.
Well, they have, like, filter fish cereal or something like that.
That would be good. That is something that, not as bad as that, but pretty bad. We had something called shalva, and it was...
It sounds horrible.
It's bad. It's like, it's kind of like, you know the cereals that we have here that's kind of like rice cakey, sort of like...
Like the shredded wheat stuff?
Yes, it's kind of like that. But, like, very bland.
Yeah.
So Fruit Loops was like an orgasm exploding in your mouth, you know? Full of sugar that, you know. But, like, I mean, so Brooklyn was kind of, like, associated with Fruit Loops.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then, but even then I didn't like Brooklyn. And, you know, and now, and they lived in an area that, you know, so, and then every Thanksgiving we would have to go there, drive from here, New Jersey to Brooklyn, which is a horrible drive, you know. Especially Thanksgiving is worse traffic than ever, you know. Mm. All the Jews go to Brooklyn, you know.
That sounds really, really horrible.
It's like, yeah, it's like, usually it's like a 2-hour drive. It turns into a 4-hour drive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, but anyway, you know, but my grandparents had that accent, the, you know, the Brooklyn, the mother, father, sister, you know, that whole Brooklyn thing, which is not, it's not very attractive.
Which I mean, you got it. You got the accent.
You know why I got it? Thank you. I'm actually not good with accents, but in addition to spending money on slippers and all the other accoutrements, I actually studied, I took accent classes with a woman from Yale online, $150 an hour every time.
Yeah.
And that's why it came out okay. But without that, I would have been, for the first month of rehearsals, I thought Todd was going to fire me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't know, I was doing a character, it was like a caricature, you know, I was doing, the voice. Anyway, it took a long time to get, that's why we haven't done the show, because, I was going crazy with, I didn't want to make it a caricature, and it's kind of written a little bit like a caricature. It's always complaining, but, I got to a point where it's like a person,
Yeah.
But, and the woman on the online woman, Julie something, really pretty, you know? And I kind of fell in love with her, But, I tried to, say, hey, in the middle of the accent. I started paying just to hang out with her, online, Kind of like a prostitute in a way. A prostitute of accents. She was like, I think you got it. I'm like, no, I don't. I think there's another word that I can't pronounce. And because her diction was so, she was kind of, not the girl next door kind of pretty,
Yeah.
But her diction was so good that just, I like a woman with good diction,
Good diction's key.
It's pretty good, man. It's kind of a turn on. Because, all the women that I kind of meet, they're kind of like, they're not great. They're kind of New Jersey,
They're lacking in the diction department, is what you're
lacking
saying.
Lacking in the diction department.
Right.
Yes. So, and this woman, but I tried, subtly to be like, hey, I do a podcast. If you ever want to talk about your evolution, how I became, an accent coach and, she was like, I'll think about it. Totally not interested. Oh, yeah. So, but yeah. I mean, I spent $500 on that, man. this place is killing me. But, and I think she's married. And I followed her. Oh, and then she wrote a book about accents.
Oh, yeah. Is that her?
It's not her. It's actually just a random student.
Oh.
And it's a very boring textbook. I read one page and I put it, and that's it. $30. But I thought I would impress her. So one of our last sessions, I was like, oh, look at this. Look what I have here. Oh, it's your book. She goes, you bought my book? as if I'm like, she had that tone like I'm stalking her.
Which to be fair, he totally wore, but
I mean, she lives in Connecticut. I'm harmless.
Yeah,
that's
true, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, if I'm going to stalk somebody, it's going to be, radius of 5 miles.
Yeah.
I have principles.
But, yeah. Because that's all, because the whole stalking thing, there's good possibility of it not turning out the way you want it to. So, if you put at least as little mileage, physical mileage between...
Yeah.
And... you're better off,
Well, this brings up the scenario of, stalking in general. Does it ever lead to anything good? It only leads...
I think it depends on how crafty you are at the stalking and how...
Right.
...obvious you are. Now, right. Here's a question.
Okay.
Sir? Let's say you decide to go to Connecticut. Let's say you were mid-stalk and there is that... distance to consider. Do you rent a car?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. I think, do I rent a car? Because my principle is, for family purposes, I always rent a car. Because I don't want to spend miles on my fucking family.
Right.
But for stalking purposes, I might use my car.
Yeah.
And then I would, drive and get to her house and be like, look, I used my miles to stalk you, bitch. So, give me some... soup.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I mean, stalking is very weird because even, so you're saying it only works out if the person that's being stalked doesn't know.
That they're being stalked and you present yourself in such a way where it's not as obvious.
Right, randomly.
It would definitely take a more of a longer term approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just happen to show up when they're shopping.
Yeah.
At ShopRite, and you bang into them with a cart, and the bananas fall, and you pick them up, and then you try to kiss them. or something.
Like you both bend over and like you bump heads on the way up. You're like, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, you shop here?
Yeah.
Oh, you eat bananas? I eat bananas too. Mm-hmm. We're made for each other. Yeah, that always works out.
Yeah.
I've never really stalked anybody. I paid online for this woman, but I mean, that's not really. I did increase the time. Like, it was an hour, $150 for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because she's from Yale, and I couldn't really find that many that did it online, exit and coaching.
Oh, yeah.
So then I increased it to an hour and a half, and I paid $250 for like an hour and a half. But I mean, why can't I find a woman with good diction, you know? Like I don't ask for much. I would like a nice woman with good...
Good diction. And that's not the name of this podcast.
Good diction. No, the name of this podcast is going to be very, like, over...
Oh, yeah, over the top.
I think the ones that we get the most listeners is when we combine, like, Germany, Chicago, and a big reveal.
Yeah.
You know? So it's got to be like a Dr. Seuss, like, I don't know, Cat in the Hat.
One fish, two fish, good diction, blowfish.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people think it's like a children's podcast, you know.
That'd be great because then we could probably get some like good people suckered in. And then they're like, well, already started. Might as well listen to the entire back catalog of 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, because I would say that most of our podcasts, you know, like if it doesn't get good by the 31-minute mark, it's never going to get
good. It's never going to be good, man.
Yeah.
Like, although there were actually a lot of times where like we would actually come up with like something profound like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. 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 That's not going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you never know. It's as is.
It is as is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you got to get back in the groove, you know. There's got to be a certain rhythm to it. So anyway, so new Mark Knopfler song, just okay.
Yeah.
You know, but album comes out in April. Oh, so you're going on a ski trip soon, right?
Next week, yep.
Wow. So next week, that's when I'm going to want to do the podcast, and you won't be here. You'll be skiing.
It's true.
I'll be like... You know, I'll be like resuming. Zoom. You'll be like, where? What place are you going to?
Chemo up in Vermont.
Ah, yes, I've heard of Vermont. Oh, Vermont. Mm. I have scars. Burlington, Vermont, is a scars place for me.
But what happened?
Well, I had a grandmother, my father's mother, who was horrible.
Oh, yeah, she was telling me. Yeah.
She lived in Vermont. And Burlington. So when I was a kid, it's funny that we talked about Brooklyn. So that was my mother's. Mother was in Brooklyn. Yeah. But then my father's mother, Sylvia, who was like a witch, lived in Burlington, Vermont. And, you know, I would have to go there. You know, me and my brother had to spend like maybe a month and a half in the summers. And it flew by because like a month and a half is not a lot of time, especially when you look forward to it all year long. You know? Yeah. So then, you know, my father was like, you have to go visit and he hated her too. He didn't go to her funeral. He hated her.
Oh, wow.
So then we'd be like, you know, and we would go, and she wasn't that mean to me, but she was really mean to my brother, which was kind of fun for me. Like, we had this game where he would kind of hide, like she would be pretty large lady, you know, most witches are.
Larger than a certain person we know?
Oh, no, nothing is larger than that. No, she was pretty, you know, she held court. She had a nice color TV, though, like, you know, which at then was still, I was blown away by Fruit Loops and color TVs, you know. She was kind of nice to me, but she had such a smell. She had that old women's smell.
Oh, really, yeah.
Gross. She was the one that kind of gave herself insulin shots.
And oh, right, right, right.
So my brother, so she hated my brother, my poor brother. And so he would, like, hide. Like, and he would be like, ask her about me. Like, you know, so then I would be like, hey, so, you know, David, before I think he was in the kitchen and I think he spilled something. And she'd be like, what? That was my entertainment, man. She was that woman that came to Israel for my bar mitzvah when I was 13.
Oh, yeah.
And she came in a wheelchair, and I had to wheel her to synagogue, and it was very hilly. And me and my brother had these fantasies of just letting her go, like She was a horrible, horrible lady. Anyway, so that's my Vermont connection.
Yeah. Well, I got a... So I'll be skiing, but I also have to... I'm also planning to get a view of, like, the surrounding area, the sites, because me and the missus are planning to eventually go up there ourselves and...
To Vermont?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it's cold there.
Yeah, but we want to eventually do our own wintery,
okay,
like, ski trip.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Burlington is kind of a nice town. I mean, besides my dead grandmother.
Well, so that means that it's a nice town, then, because she's dead, so she's not going to be there.
Yeah, but it is really cold in the winter. Like, yeah. It's really, really... But it is... it's actually... Last time I was there, it was pretty nice. And it's a pretty nice music town, too, actually. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of, like, bars that would singer-songwriters play. So it's not a bad town. But, yeah. So you're going for, like, a week, or...?
Yeah, we're leaving Sunday, coming back Saturday.
Is this with your cousin Bill, or...?
Oh, no, this is with Tim.
I'm so confused. Oh, your family all have names like Bill, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard from Cousin Bill in like 2,000 years.
Cousin Bill disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, he was on our show. He's like Richard Simmons, you know? Like, nobody knows what's going on with Richard Simmons. Do you know who Richard Simmons is?
Yeah, the exercise guy.
Yeah.
Afro.
Yeah. We he's a ridiculous guy, and it's such a weird story because he used to be everywhere. On talk shows, he was on Howard Stern, and you know, he's just this guy that motivated people not to eat. But he always wore shorts. He was kind of like a clown.
Yeah,
he was like Ronald McDonald, really. And then he disappeared, and then there's rumors that his housekeeper kidnapped him. And
oh my god!
So now, actually, this week he made headlines because Pauly Shore.
Oh yeah, apparently Pauly Shore is going to play him or something like that.
Yeah, and then Richard Simmons comes out of the woodwork and he goes, "Oh no, I didn't give. I didn't give my okay to this." So, yeah,
Pauly Shore's like, "Yeah, you did, buddy."
Pauly Shore, what the hell? Have you ever seen a Pauly Shore movie?
Oh yeah, back in the, like Encino Man.
You did?
Son-in-Law.
I haven't seen any of them.
No.
But I remember him. He was on MTV when MTV was a thing. Mm-hmm. And he would be like, "Hey, yo, this is going to be the new, like, you know, this is a new, like, Sammy Hagar song." You know, it's just being an idiot, you know. But those movies were not that good, right? Biodome.
I mean, like, Brendan Fraser was in the Encino Man. He played the caveman. That one wasn't bad.
You know,
I liked it more as a kid.
You know what's funny? Brendan Fraser, like, people are saying, so Oscars were called yesterday.
Nice.
Thank you. Which I don't really care about. But they're saying that Brendan Fraser's performance in that movie that you saw, The Killers of the Flower Moon,
yeah,
is really weird and bad acting on his part.
He doesn't have a big role in it at all. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Like, they're saying...
Kind of hams it up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, almost kind of didn't take him...
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, and it happens so late in the movie, too.
Yeah. So, by that time, you just want to kill yourself. It's like 3.5 hours long, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I've seen a few of the movies, but, man, they're all, like, depressing as hell.
Oh, did you ever end up seeing the second half of Oppenheimer?
No.
Yeah.
Does a bomb explode? No, I will see it. I do want to see it eventually. I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's funny about Barbie, though, because, like, Ryan Gosling was nominated, but not the director.
I heard that. I heard about that.
Which is, that is kind of, I almost feel like they did that just so they'd be talked about, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like that is a weird call because it is a director's. You haven't seen it, right?
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I hated it, but I mean, it is definitely a director's movie. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah,
but
I think Tracy wants to see it, so I'll probably end up watching it with her.
Oh, I hope you see it because I'm the only one that hated that movie. I think. I mean, I know.
Oh, no, cousin Bill hated it.
Really?
Yeah,
I really hated it. But anyway. I saw May December, which is Natalie Portman, Julianne Moore. It's okay. It's depressing. I can't recommend it. All the movies are fucking depressing. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess Oppenheimer, the first half was good, you know. These movies are so fucking long, man.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I don't have the time.
Yeah.
I think Creed 3 wasn't nominated.
No, it wasn't.
No. Yeah, anyway, so, but yeah, but back to the thing. Yeah,
I completely forgot about Creed 3.
Creed 3, I remember you liked it.
I liked it, but then, like, it was one of those things, like, I liked it, and then completely forgot all about it.
It's forgettable. It's forgettable. That's the problem. When a movie's forgettable, then it's not that good, you know? Mm. But anyway, yeah. But this weekend will be tricky. So you're coming on Saturday.
Saturday, yep.
That's going to be a tricky one. Well, the trickiest one for me is going to be Sunday, I think, because I got... Okay, so... Oh, by the way... So remember I had that thing with a woman on New Year's Eve? She was kind of into Jesus and... At New Year's Eve, I think... I talked about it here. I went to a party with my aunt, and then I met a woman, and we hit it off. But I promised Eva Kaplan that I would be there at midnight. Did I tell you the story?
Nah, not at all.
It's
our last podcast was before New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So anyway, so New Year's Eve, I have, you know, I my Aunt Ginny ropes me into a party, and I get there, they're all 80-year-old women, except for one woman who's like 45-ish or something, you know? A little older than me. So, and, you know, she's a little shy. We kind of talk. We're kind of, like, having a nice rapport, hitting it off. Of course, everybody else was 80, so it was a very low-hanging fruit threshold. So, this is where I stupidly, I promised Eva Kaplan, who's one of my passengers, who's like 85, I said I'd show up there by midnight.
Oh, yeah.
This one party is till 2 a.m. Anyway.
We stayed in.
You stayed in?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the funny thing is, I tell this woman that I'm talking to, I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to go to Eva Kaplan's house. You want to go? She goes, sure. So now I'm taking a complete stranger in my car to an 85-year-old woman's house that I don't want to go to in the first place. This is my New Year's Eve. So we and I'm so stupid because I should have just, like, taken her here, had, like, a one-on-one encounter. But no, I take her to an 85-year-old woman's house. So now we're driving, everything's fine, but she kind of says towards the end that, you know, she's into Jesus.
Oh, it's Jesus.
Yeah, and I was like, huh, did not see that coming, you know. Mm. And she goes, I don't like to preach about it. It's like my thing. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. But, you know, so, you know, we get there, and then it's like 10 minutes to midnight. No, we get there like at 11:10. And that was just kind of weird because
the Iron Maiden song, 2 minutes to midnight.
Is that Judas Priest?
Actually, I believe it's Maiden.
Okay. Well, we could Google this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is in Pennington, and, you know, you got Eva Kaplan, you got a daughter, you know, and then me, and then this lady. And, you know, it was fine. It was just a very weird, you know, atmosphere. And, you know, and then we see the ball drop and everything. And we stayed there till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Goddamn.
And then I thought, okay, this thing could maybe be, you know, I could work around the Jesus.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, but then the next day, there wasn't a lot of, like, she's not that responsive on text. But anyway, so she comes to the play. Somehow I, you know, because she works for somebody that knows my aunt.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so she was part of the Sunday play. And, you know, again, you know, she sent me very nice texts after the play that,
you
know.
Did you see her afterward? Or?
I saw her, yeah, oh. I did. And she was very interactive and made eye contact, you know. But then, like, you know, these women, you know, like then just kind of dropped, like, the texts have been, she's not very responsive on.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, but it was just a very weird, like, you know, that New Year's Eve has always been strange, and this was no exception, you know. Did you watch the ball drop thing?
Actually,
stayed up till, because now it's 2024, you know.
Actually, I don't think we watched the ball drop.
The ball dropping is stupid. I'm glad you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump?
She finally watched Forrest Gump.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
God, I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah.
Does it hold up?
Oh, totally.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that's a movie that a lot of people really like. I don't dislike it, but, you know... I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. Yeah.
At least you're not like Regina, who, like, has complete hatred toward the movie just because it beat Pulp Fiction at the Academy Awards.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah. To hold a grudge against a movie, you know. No, it was an impressive movie, but, like, it's not a movie that I see a lot, you know. Like, I think I just saw it once, you know. Mm-hmm. While Pulp Fiction, I've seen a million times, you know.
Oh, have you?
Not a million, but more than once. So what shows are you showing the missus? Are you educating her on the world?
So the only like show I've gotten her on is It's Always Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it.
Right. And then, so what season are you on?
Season 2 right now.
I wonder if British Mark knows It's Always Sunny. I don't think British Mark watches TV.
No?
Because, you know, Ted Lasso, which is a very funny show, takes place in London, which would be appealing to him because he lives in that area.
Right.
But I think he's too busy washing dishes to do anything.
It's true. He's got his, like, band or something like that.
I don't even think he does that anymore.
Oh, no shit.
He hasn't talked about that in a long time. Yeah, I don't really know what he does.
I guess maybe they had a falling out. They had artistic creative differences.
Yeah, this is how it went. British Mark goes in there and he goes, "All right, lads, I want to write my own material. I want to write in the style of Journey." And they're like, "Journey sucks." And then they start, like, hitting each other. And then British Mark loves Journey.
Yeah.
It's very odd to me. It's not the worst band in the world, but, right. You know. But
another,
like,
band that had two distinct eras. They had their first few albums were, like, very progressive, and then Steve Perry comes in, and
right.
Then they become all mainstream.
Right. And I prefer the early ones.
I haven't heard the early stuff in a long time, to the point where I don't even recognize it.
Yeah.
So I have to give it another shot.
You don't really have to.
I mean, it's true.
But, I mean, people think that Steve Perry has, like, the greatest voice. It's not appealing to me. I'll go on record. I'll say, I don't really like Steve Perry.
No?
No.
Don't like Steve Perry?
I mean, it's kind of a loud, shrill, like, higher-pitched sound. Like, and how many times can you listen to Don't Stop Believing? I know that it's not his fault that the song went viral and Sopranos and, you know. But I don't really think I like any other Jersey song. you got what? Wheel in the Sky Keeps on Turning.
I don't know where I'll be tomorrow.
Oh, tell the story about the guitar pick.
Oh my God. All right. So, this is last Monday.
Okay, you remember the day.
You guys are doing tech week.
Right.
Now, months ago, you know, I'm strumming away at the guitar, you know, having a good old time, playing with that white pick that I was playing with when I brought it here and got caught, lost in the body multiple times.
Right.
Well, one day, lo and behold, it gets lost in the body again. However, I tried to get it out. I can't even hear the goddamn thing. So it's obviously, like, stuck in something, in, like, one of the, like, the ridges or whatever the fuck inside.
Yeah.
Maybe even all the way up in the goddamn neck. I don't know.
Right.
So months go by. I play with the blue pick instead. I figure all is lost. I'm never seeing this goddamn fucking white pick again.
Mm-mm.
So Monday comes around, and I've already moved my guitar to her place.
Right.
Because I'm living there now.
Right.
And
I'm sure she loves it when you serenade her with your guitar skills. You're like, "Eric, I just wrote a new song for you. This is called Madam of Hillsborough. An F minor."
Actually, we have thought. Well, anyway, I'll get to my story first.
Okay.
So I just happened to take it out the one night.
Yeah.
Bring it to the couch. I just lightly place on the couch. All of a sudden I hear the thing fucking moved. I'm like, no. I fucking turn around. I shake it a bit. It falls out. Like, that was a goddamn sign. That was a goddamn sign that I think music is supposed to be, like, my next creative outlet.
Well, I think it's a metaphor, really.
It's definitely a metaphor.
It's like your life has been stuck inside of a hole, and then you just had to shake it around a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the pig, I don't know. I mean, I like to put metaphors into everything.
Oh, it was definitely a metaphor. Because I definitely ascribed meaning to the whole experience.
But where the fuck has it been all this time?
It must have been like so stuck, but somehow it got locked. Moved around to an extent that it finally got wedged, unwedged.
It's a fucking miracle.
It really is a fucking miracle.
It would only be exceeded if the trumpeter from the episode number 35 showed up out of the blue. You know,
the missing trumpeter returns.
The missing trumpeter returns. He's like, "Hey, I have your pick, sir."
We actually have talked about like me learning some songs and her singing and us going to like places and playing. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. That'd be like Sonny and Cher. You know.
Oh yeah.
Although he died in a ski accident, so that wouldn't be a good example.
I'm about to go skiing next week.
I know. That's not good. But she could be like Cher. You
that's
know?
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She likes Cher.
Right. If you guys played an open mic, I would definitely show up.
Because we went to Petrox a few weeks ago, and they had like a woman like in a corner with a guitar singing.
Yeah.
So she's like.
I would love to do that, but just make a mockery out of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Be like, I have a few new songs that I've written. And if I do it at Pet Rocks, first song will be called Diarrhea, because that place sucks. Pet Rocks is a restaurant near the theater.
Petrox. Not Pet Rocks, like the scam that was created in the 70s to sell random fucking rocks to naive people.
Well, you say Pet Rocks, and I say Petrox.
I say Petrox. You say Pet Rocks.
Right. Pet. But what's the difference?
Petrox is the name of the actual guy who owns the place.
But what's the difference in pronunciation? Like I said, Pet Rocks. Pet Rocks.
You're saying like Pet Rocks.
Right.
Whereas I'm doing Petrox. There's like
a T.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a word for it, but okay. The way that this T sounds before right. The R.
It's an alive T, not a silent T.
Right.
So Petrox.
Petrox.
That's really hard to say. But that place sucks, by the way. I mean, I don't care if they don't advertise on our show. But I tried to join another exercise group lately, and we went there one night. Like, I joined this place that's very rigorous, and I don't know if I'm going to stick with it, because I broke up with my other exercise teacher.
Oh, you broke up with her?
Well, I mean, we hadn't had an official talk. I've been thinking about leaving her for a while, yeah. You know, because I'm not making any, I'm not getting the results that I want, and her voice is so annoying. And
oh, yeah.
Anyway, so I joined this other place, which is, I could say the name, it's Orange Theory. It's a chain. It's very rigorous, and it's, you know, I don't love it, but it's definitely more, you definitely sweat more than my, you know. But, you know, it's annoying because there's an instructor and it's loud and, you know, so it's kind of annoying. But
I actually joined a new gym. I joined her gym.
Oh.
Down the street from
Hillsborough
Cinemas.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Next Fitness.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it good?
I haven't gone there yet. We went Monday because I guess I was able to get my first two months free, and she got 2 free months as well.
Okay.
So then we went to ShopRite and did some food shop. That was fun.
Oh. So first, let me get this straight. First you exercise, then you went food shopping.
Well, no, we didn't exercise. We just went to go get my membership set up.
Oh, so have you even exercised at all there?
No. She's there tonight. She's probably done now, but she's got Zumba there on Wednesday nights.
Oh, Zumba.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm a fan of Zumba.
You done it?
I've done it online and YouTube with a Korean instructor.
North or South Korean?
I'm not sure. Her name is Mira Pham. She's very cute. I only like to do her Zumba. I don't like other Zumbas. I'm very dedicated to this Korean chick.
Does she have a book that you could buy?
If it is, I won't understand it, you know. She'd be like, "Oh, I love the Zumba." It's like one page, you know. It'll be like the cover will be like Zumba, and then you open the page and it says, "I love the Zumba." The end. But I have done it, you know. But that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they say that a couple that chops together goes to the same gym together, you know,
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to stick with this Orange Theory place, man.
What happened with Petrox then? You said...
So the first day that I joined Petrox, they had like one of those meetup things, like, you know, actually, it wasn't a Petrox, but it was in another bar around here. So I thought, okay, I just joined this place. Maybe I'll meet some chicks, you know? So I go there, and it's just like, you know, I talked to a few people, but it wasn't that much fun. But then, I was talking with, like, two women, and then, you know, we decided to go to a restaurant. We went to a diner, and that was closed, so we ended up at Petrox.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw them a day later at the exercise place, and they said, oh, my God, that place was horrible, and we had to be in the bathroom all night. And, like, I haven't had that experience, but it's the food there is very average, you know. And I'm going to go there on Sunday because Anne and her mother are coming. So on Sunday,
From Joan and Anne?
No, they're dead. Yeah, no, Joan and Anne are done. Well, I should probably invite them to the play, actually, but because they would like the play, but, you know, I can't open up that can of worms.
Oh, yeah.
I should have them come the day Jay Silverberg comes in, have them sit together. He'd be like, fuck! I'd be like, Jay, you're going to sit here. Joan's going to sit here. Anne is like this another random person from my life who's a lesbian, which is, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
It's like gay, but not in a male way, in a female way.
Right, yeah.
Which I prefer, really. Like, if I was going to be gay, I'd rather... Anyway, so so she's, you know, she's actually a casting director.
Oh, no shit.
And she's never, I've told her, she's been a friend of mine for years. I'm like, can't you cast me in anything? She goes, you know, nothing ever comes up. But then she goes to my plays and she thinks I'm great. Mm-hmm. It's just so weird that I have a casting director friend who thinks I'm great and she never casts me in anything.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so she's coming with her mother, who I used to go to their place in Christmas time in Delaware, and it was for years I went there, and it was crazy for me to go there. It was like an hour and a half trip, you know, and it was okay, but it wasn't really that much fun for me. But they're nice. Anyway, they're coming to the play on Sunday, so I said, let's go to, you know, since you're coming like 2 hours away, and she lives in Brooklyn, the mother lives in Pennsylvania. Well, at least I could do is hang out with you at, you know. So we decided Petrox for an hour.
Nice. After.
But the same day, Eva Kaplan and her daughter, oh, God, they're coming on Sunday. So, and then Eva Kaplan's going to be mad at me because I'm going to be spending time with the other people, you know.
Can't fucking win, man. You can't win.
Well, I'm actually worried because last time, doing the play that I did last year, Psych, that play, Jody was the... I don't know if I can say people's names. Who cares? The daughter and Eva Kaplan, you know. So Eva Kaplan's the 85-year-old. She's lovely. The daughter is like high maintenance.
Uh-huh.
And they're sitting in the front row because Eva Kaplan has a walker. So she has to go to the front row to have easy access. God knows why. So, and when I did Psych, I had to concentrate. I had the lead role. I had a lot of lines. I go on stage and the daughter goes, Danny! Like, from the first row, like, really loud. I almost went down and choked her. Because, like, you know, I had a scene with Jimmy Houston, which is trying enough. You know? Because who knows what he was going to say.
Oh, God.
And then she goes, Danny! It wasn't even that. It was more than that. She said, like, a full sentence.
Oh, my God.
And now she's coming on Sunday. And if she does that again, I'm going to, you know.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to have to. Yeah, anyway. So all these fucking people are fucking annoying as hell.
My God.
But you're coming on Saturday. So let's see. You're coming on Saturday with.
So my folks are coming Saturday. I'm coming Saturday. Cliff's coming Saturday.
Yeah. Now, Cliff says that he never sees the plays that your girlfriend does.
Right.
But somehow she roped him into coming?
Well, I think he actually did a production of it years ago.
Oh.
He played, I think he played Eugene. She showed me a picture of it.
Oh, so he used to be young at one point?
Yeah.
Because he's not so young anymore. Oh, you know, but he is, really. But, okay, so he's coming from wherever he lives, Parsippany or something, right? Okay. Is he going to cough the whole show? Because last time he was here, he sounded like he had AIDS. and tuberculosis at the same time.
No, he's very much alive. He came over on Christmas Eve. We all hung out.
And he wasn't coughing?
Wasn't coughing.
Okay, good. Yeah. Like, he was really, like, vomiting really badly last time he was here. I mean, Cliff, I mean, you're not going to hear this, but whatever. I mean, he said himself that he was very sick, right?
Yeah, he was very sick, yeah.
So he's coming on... So wait. So you, your parents, who I don't know very well...
Right. You met him, I think, the one time when you picked me up to go to the airport.
Do you think they ever heard any of our podcasts?
Oh, definitely not.
Definitely not, no. Yeah. But he's into Bruce, right?
My dad, yeah.
Your dad, okay. Hey, you might be impressed that I'm going to have the podcast with... Oh, yeah, with,
that's right.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that one. I'm actually doing a podcast with Bruce Springsteen's drummer, but not Max Weinberg, who's been the drummer forever. His first drummer, who's now like 150 years old, Vinnie Lopez. And I have no idea how this is going to go. But he was on the first, and Greetings from Asbury Park and the E Street Shuffle, which, you know.
His first two records.
First two records, yeah. that didn't sell at all. Until Born to Run came out.
Yeah.
And I think he might be... No, he's not. He's not... You know, the funny thing is that Mike Weinberg joined Born to Run, the album, but he didn't play on the Born to Run song. So for some reason, there's another drummer, and for some reason. And I don't think...
Yeah, it's like... I wonder if that was like one of those things where it was like they happened to record Born to Run when they're in between drummers. So they had a session musician or something like that.
Yeah, it was a set. Yeah, it was just really funny because it's his
because the drumming's pretty good, pretty solid in that one too.
Yeah, and it's his most like iconic song, and none of the big drummers are on that song. It's pretty weird.
Yeah,
I think he released Born to Run like a year before the album came out. Like he didn't have the album when he released Born to Run.
Oh, okay. It was just the song.
Yeah, so the single was out way before the record. So, and this guy, like, you know, this was an accident, a happy accident. So, so I actually took a day off from work on Tuesday, which I'm losing money again.
Yeah.
Because I have to do research on this guy, and I don't know, you know, like, you never know. Like, I've been lucky that my other musician interviews, for the most part, have been easy, and they were talkative.
Yeah.
But this guy could be a, you know, and he might not want to talk about, like, because I guess he was fired at some point.
Oh, wow, okay.
And, so the friend that our mutual friend said, yeah, don't bring that up. I'm like, how do you not bring that up? That's like the biggest, because here's the trick. I mean, all I care about is his Springsteen connection, but I have to make it seem that I'm interested in him.
Yeah.
So like I'm thinking in the 30-minute mark, I'll be like, so apparently you play drums with Bruce Springsteen. Like just kind of bring it up casually, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to pretend like I really care about, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So when did you start playing drums? And you know.
Yeah, like what inspired? Did you have like, what drummers inspired you to begin with?
Yeah, right. And what did you do after you were fired from the E Street Band? Like, you know, do you hang out with Pete Best from the...
I'm just going to mention.
I was playing tennis yesterday and one of the guys was actually saying you should do a podcast with all the people that... almost made it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like the Pete Best and all these people. That would be a great podcast. Great. And then right afterwards, they all kill themselves. The name of the podcast is People That Almost Made It, you know? Yep. Oh, man. So anyway, I don't know how we got to that. But yeah, so Saturday. So actually, it's not that many people. It's your parents. And
well, Gaber's also coming, you said.
I don't know why. I mean, the tickets are not that... I mean, it's not crowded. I mean, we're getting 30, 40 people maybe. And I'm like, why am I buying a ticket for Gaber? The things that I do for that man.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Because I think I got spoiled by my aunt, you know, because she's like so inept with buying tickets for this. You know, so I was like, you know what? $22... you know, whatever. So anyway, so Saturday night is going to be interesting. You know, yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, I guess. It's kind of a long play. Like, for me, it's not that much fun because I have to, like, spend a lot of time backstage avoiding certain people.
Yeah.
Certain people that just are there.
Yep.
You know, with their...
Girth.
The word girth is funny, man.
Yeah.
It could be good or bad. Like, if you're describing a penis. Oh my God! So what happened, people? That we had, you know, a podcast before, and then we got interrupted. So now we added to this. So I don't even know how many minutes we're in already.
At this point, yeah, we're I think we are at a point now where we're probably just over the hour mark.
We're over the hour mark. So British Mark is like now doing finished his dishes. He's like, this episode is mighty long. I mean, I got to go to bed. Well,
stop, please.
Oh, well, of course.
Oh, yeah. All
right. I have obsessive compulsion, sprays, slippers, crazy. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. certain things that I just, oh, yeah. Oh, so I was playing tennis yesterday. So there was this, you know, this whole AI idea, right? This is guy that played tennis with, his name is Mike. He's actually very funny. You would really like him because he's very...
Did he used to listen to the show?
Yeah, he gave up on us. Yeah. Yeah, he's busy. He's got a kid now, you know. But he's very... You would really like him. He's very, like, deadpan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but really, like, you wouldn't think he would be funny, but... Like, he says very funny things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I played, you know, I filled in for somebody yesterday, so I played really well. Usually when I don't play for a while and they play for the first time, I play amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And then the time after that, I suck, you know? So we're talking about, I don't know how, but AI came up. Oh, because he went to deals with, I don't know what he does, but he goes to conventions in Las Vegas where they try out new products.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that there was a lot of AI stuff going on at this convention in Las Vegas. And then I was like, and then we talk about like AI, and I thought, okay, so it would be great. It would be a pretty funny premise for a sitcom. Like if I, let's say me, as me, gets an AI woman to fall in love with them. I know it's been kind of done before with Her, the movie Her. But I don't know if there's ever been a sitcom with a... We thought of this funny scenario where, like, you know, so I'm with my AI lady. Let's call her Judy.
Okay.
And, like, we're really kind of happy together. But she's feeling like she's like, fuck, she's a fucking robot. And but she's starting to feel like I'm not... she's not happy with me, you know? And then we go to couples therapy. That's a really good idea, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I mean, and then he turns to me and goes, you know, this is really, we should write this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'm about to get fired. Like, I might have a lot of free time soon. So the thought is, like, we're in couples therapy, Judy, you know, and she's saying that her needs aren't being met, you know, and she just wishes I had more empathy, you know. She's a fucking robot. And I the whole idea was just... Because, I mean, soon we're going to be able to actually, you know, date AI versions of people, I assume.
I'm already envisioning how to open up that pilot.
Okay. Okay.
You actually open it up during a therapy session.
Okay.
But you see, she's so lifelike that the tone of the scene at first is really... somber and dramatic. You know, you guys are really trying hard to work at this. She's giving it her all. She's getting really upset and everything. All of a sudden, maybe like she like stutters or something, or fidgets or freezes, and you're like,
yeah,
oh yeah, she gets like this sometimes, and that's when the reveal happens that she's actually an AI.
Right. So she starts like malfunction. Like
yeah, like she happens to have like a mild malfunction, but that's how. The audience is introduced to the fact that she's not an actual human being.
Right. So she starts like to actually shake or something, or like her neck starts to swivel, or
there, or maybe like she says something and then she repeats it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like, then she keeps on repeating it.
He never listens to me. He never listens to me. He never listens to me.
And you're like, I'm sorry, this happens sometimes. Yeah.
And like you twist the knob.
Down and you just like smack her across the face.
And then the therapist is like, oh.
Whoa.
That's good. That's good, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, like, I think at this point, my only hope is to go out with an AI version. I had a woman today from a site that she goes to, she Look, I think at 3 a.m. last night, and when I couldn't sleep, I was strolling the dating apps, you know? So this woman at 6 a.m. texts me, and she's kind of on the large side.
Like the ones that typically reach out to you?
Yeah. I'm very lucky on the dating side. Very, very lucky. Very lucky. One is uglier than the next. So she goes one line. She goes, "I like Mark Knopfler too." I guess on my dating site, I mentioned music, and I mentioned that. I haven't seen what I say on my dating site in a long time.
Likely, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so she's a large woman who likes Mark Knopfler. Okay, maybe we can work this. So the face is not particularly.
You should show me after.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as horrendous as others I've shown you. You know, the others were like monsters.
Oh my god! Yeah,
this one's not a monster, but she's like a friendly librarian type. So then I wait until like, you know, I don't know, noon today. I'm like, all right, let's see if she has anything. So I'm like, funny you should mention Mark Knopfler. He released a new song today. You know? And she goes, immediately, like within seconds of me sending her, it's almost like she's been waiting, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And she says, what? She goes, oh, I must listen then to the new song. Okay? And then, so that then, I'm like, all right, that's really, really boring exchange, you know? And then an hour later, she says, so tell me about, no. So, no, then I say, yeah, the song is kind of on the cute side, but it's not bad. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, so tell me about yourself. You know, so I deleted her. I mean, that's the wrong question to ask. Yeah. No, I did say a few little things about myself. And then she just came up with a very boring answer, and that's where we're at.
Oh, yeah.
She goes, I'm in Manhattan, and I also have a house upstate. And I'm like, okay. And apparently you eat a lot of ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going great, man. It's going great. Life is good. Life is good.
Yeah.
Life is good. So, okay, so you're leaving for skiing.
On Sunday morning.
Oh, this Sunday morning?
Yep.
This Sunday morning.
I'm coming back next Saturday.
So you're going to be in a hotel or?
No, they found I guess the resort has like, not rooms, but like, I guess sort of like, it's like a multi-room type unit. Okay. A bunch of us are going.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so.
You did this last year. No, 2 years ago, right?
Last time we went, at least last time I went was when just me, Tim, and Bonnie went up to Tremblant in Canada back right before COVID.
Oh, yeah, Canada, right. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
So is there like drinking involved in this?
Oh, there's definitely going to be some drinking involved. Oh, yeah.
What's your drink of choice when you ski?
Typically, like the last time, like when we'd go up, Kentucky Mule is a favorite.
What's that?
It's like bourbon with ginger ale.
Really?
Ginger beer and a little bit of lemon juice.
Really?
Quite good.
Why don't you drink it here?
It's much easier to open a can or a bottle of beer just doing that.
Yeah, we're kind of doing the lazy way out.
However.
Yeah.
Tracy introduced me to these mixed drinks. They come like already mixed in a bottle.
Hmm.
It's about the size of like this can, maybe a little bit taller.
Okay.
But one's like an old fashioned, and another one, which we split last night, a Manhattan.
So it comes pre.
It's already mixed together. You can go like right to any liquor store, like Petrox, like the liquor store part. You walk in, it's like right there on your left hand side. Yeah. There's like a little rack of them.
Huh? And it's good.
Oh yeah.
That might make me feel like sophisticated, like an adult, you know.
Oh yeah. And they're like the mixer good too. Like it's the first time I've ever had a Manhattan.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good. I actually think I actually like that more than the old fashioned.
Huh. What's it I don't really know the difference. I mean I've had
they taste different, like the Manhattan's like pretty much black. And I think that's made from like rye whiskey.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know all the individual ingredients, but
Yeah. Huh. All right, well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
They have a few different ones, too. Like, she said that there's a I think like a jalapeno martini, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So how are you driving? Are you driving to the ski place?
Oh, I'm riding with Tim's brothers.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. A ski trip. I've never been skiing in my life.
No.
No. I, you know, in Israel, there was no snow.
Yeah.
So that made it hard.
Very difficult, yeah.
Very hard to ski in, like, 90-degree weather.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
But actually, there is a little bit of snow. Once in a while, Israel gets snow, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
But I don't know the sensation. Do you do, like, the kiddie slope, or do you do, like, the
serious? Well, so what we're going to do, we're all going to do, like a lesson Monday morning, like, for, like, an hour and a half, and then just get, like, reacclimated to the whole thing. Because it's one of those things, like, it's at first, it can be pretty scary, but then, like, once you get familiar with, you know what you're doing, comfortable enough, then it becomes pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You spend, like, 10 hours a day on the slope.
Nah, well, I'm not planning to. I mean, so the slopes pretty much close, I think, by, like, 3 p.m. or something.
3 really?
4 p.m., yeah.
Why?
Because I guess depending on when dusk, it gets dark, they don't want anyone out there.
Right, right, right. And it gets dark pretty, yeah, pretty.
Think, yeah.
Yeah, 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 okay.
And then, like me, I got a pass for all 5 days, like Monday through Friday. But I did that. That way, if I just go out there for a few hours, do a few runs, and I'm like, you know what? I feel good about this now. I'll come back out tomorrow. Then I won't have to try to worry about getting everything in on like one day, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Huh. Yeah. Well, what if I get a great idea for a podcast and you're out there skiing? What am I supposed to do?
Text Tracy.
And then what?
You guys should do a podcast.
But should we do it how? As oh, by the way, I met her mother, by the way.
Oh, yeah, she told me.
Yeah, that was her mother is, yeah. But
she got me a nice pair of gloves for Christmas.
She did?
Uh-huh.
Her mother's like 3 feet tall. She's like a Yoda. I don't know how that's possible that she created Tracy, who's like not 3 feet tall. But I don't really understand why Tracy is really doesn't want me to do a podcast with her mother. Like, I don't, she's really against it. Like,
well, I think I don't know. Like, I have to talk to her about that because like I'll bring it up and be like. Because I think I'm like we should all have it all like all four of us should do a podcast.
Well, I think the mother needs to be I think she needs to be one on one because she's a big personality and I think she would get diluted with four people.
Oh yeah.
So I would really rather do. I mean, she could do. We could do it four with her too. But I think she deserves the platform.
Yeah.
But Tracy apparently is like I can't tell if she's really against it or if it's shtick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I once texted her about it, and she goes over my dead body, which I took it to mean that she's against it. I mean, I was trying to read between the lines there.
It seems to give me a lot to work with right there.
Yeah, so I'll
see if I can sort of try to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not listen. I got Bruce Springsteen's drummer. Like, I don't like. I'm not clamoring for, but you know, but it would be. I mean, she would be. I could tell that she would be like a firecracker.
Yeah,
yeah. She. I think she sat next to people in my family, and they were like, my family was like, who is that woman? You know. Like she's pretty easy with the F-bombs.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know,
it's funny. I saw her on I met her first met her on Thanksgiving. Then I saw her again on Christmas over at Tracy's aunt's house, and it's funny because Tracy has like two younger cousins. They're college age.
Okay,
so it's funny that her mom will say something that's like completely someone her age would say. And you could see, like, the kids are kind of like – because, you know, like, the kids, they can't handle that kind of, like, talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, though. I just – I feed right into it, though. It's I think I get along with her pretty well, actually.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Tracy won't let me get close to her, so I can't tell. But, I mean, you know, I don't understand. It's actually – listen. I mean, it's actually too – this is how you should present it to Tracy, okay? It's actually to her like, I won't let her say anything negative about mm-hmm. Trey. I mean, if she does, I'll edit it out. You know. Yeah. Although it would be funny if she does, but I mean, I'll respect. You know, I know I've been down this road before where, you know, I had a family member say bad things. I think I told you I spent $100.
Oh yeah, you're telling
one
me.
Word.
Yeah.
One word.
Wait, one word? I thought it was like a whole section.
No, there was one with Myra's mother mm-hmm. was like a whole section, which was actually easy to edit because it was contained within 5 minutes. But then I did a podcast with
Was it like the anger management fiasco with Gabriel?
Well, that was trickier maybe because there was anger management was throughout the episode. But then I did one with Myra's sister. And Myra's sister's daughter, and you know, there was one moment where I said, "So what stresses you out?" And the daughter said the name of the grandmother, but it was very quick, but it was still enough, and I was like,
"You had to like find it or something like that, huh?"
Well, I remembered it, so it was actually easier to find, but to get somebody to edit just that one word, and I didn't want to bother you with it because I wanted to take care of it right away, you know.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So I went to. It was crazy. Just one word, mm-hmm. which nobody probably would have even picked up on. But yeah. Anyway, I might have that. I mean, I think with Bruce Springsteen's drummer, I think I'm gonna have to say, look, I'm really have trouble with editing, so let's try not to say anything that you'll fucking regret. You know, I think I'm gonna have to do that with everybody.
Yeah.
Because I just go nuts with this fucking editing shit, you know? So,
You know, I remember how, like, on TV, like, they would be, like, whenever someone said a curse word, they'd be like, beep!
Yeah.
You should be like, hey, Danny, this is Danny. We're doing the episode with Bruce Springsteen's first drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. All of a sudden, the whole episode's just, beep! One continuous.
I should have been on fucking Born to Run and Darkness in the Edge of Town. Max Weinberg's a shitty fucking drummer. Like, what does he know that I know? I'm a fucking professional jazz musician. Yeah. Yeah, I know. The whole episode was just like one big bleep. And I'll be like, thank you very much. That was the easiest podcast I've ever done. And that would get like 100 million. Yeah, that would be great if like every podcast and it just had like one, like once, you know, it would be like one word podcast.
My God.
Oh my God, man. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I actually made that for Tuesday.
Yeah, you said you took the day off.
Yeah. So I'm going to lose money. I think I might have some people from work who've never seen me on stage come.
Oh, shit.
Maybe on Saturday. No, I think they'll probably be Sunday. Maybe. This is a problem with these plays. It's like these people that come and show up. You know, that's the worst part. I really don't like to see people after the show. But then you feel obligated because they came. Yeah. But I really hate it.
Me too, yeah.
I mean, there's no way around it, though, unless I just leave, you know?
Just go out the back side door.
Yeah. Totally.
I think I did that once during Outsider. I just, like...
Yeah.
Because, like, the dressing room was so cramped that, like, I would wait till everyone else was done.
Yeah.
Do it. Got changed. I knew there was no one I knew out in the audience, or at least I assume. And I just went out the side door and just left.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I would really like to do that, but I'm going to have to deal with that. I've got to deal with people. I just wish I knew more normal people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sick of these weirdos. Oh, my God. Okay, what do we call this episode, man?
Like, all I know is that it's like, I think we managed to do it like an 80-minute episode, so.
80-minute episode. Okay, well.
So, any last words?
Yeah. Well, sure. We have to do a summation. Don't we?
I don't think we've done a summation before, but, you know, we could. So,
well, you know.
Summary.
Well, listen. Okay, now that this is more like a monthly occurrence, you know, much like other things that happen once a month. Like
periods.
Yeah, periods. That's one way to look at it.
Right.
You know, I wonder if women think of period as an offensive word or a word that they like. You know,
I imagine they don't like the word because it reminds them of what they have to deal with every month.
I guess, but how bad could it be? I mean, I blow my nose like a million times a day. I don't know. You'll hear me complaining about it. But, you know, just the word period is misleading. Because, you know, period has a finite... Now, from what I understand, like, you have to, like, plug that thing up, right?
Yeah.
So it's more like a question mark, you know? It should be like, period? You know? Like, it's not like, period. Anyway, that's just my thoughts on the subject. Wait, what other things happen once a month? Like, besides, let's see, episode, no, I don't know.
Bills typically happen on a monthly basis.
Yeah, perhaps our podcast is like a monthly bill.
Yeah.
Like an election bill.
Yeah, like it's something we have to attend to every month, you know?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we got like 22 people in the last episode. So, I mean, we'll see if maybe the abstinence makes the heart grow fonder principle.
Did you say abstinence or absence?
I don't know. What's the correct word?
Absence. Or like...
Absence.
Absence, right. Makes the heart grow fonder.
Right.
Abstinence is when you don't have sex.
Right. Abstinence, in my case, usually leads to no sex at all. I mean, it really kind of implies that in the word.
Right. Abstinence.
Abstinence.
Abstinence or absence?
Absence of abstinence.
Absence of abstinence.
Was that the name of the episode? I think we just came up with the name of the episode. abstinence and periods. Question mark. One of those like avant-garde like titles, you know. Abstinence, periods.
Revolution period.
Abstinence and periods and skiing and like, you know, like and
Danny's play
and Jesus
and Jesus
water picks and just like a you know remember Fiona Apple?
I've heard of her. Yeah,
she's strange, and she has one album that is like the title is 30 words. Like, she just went crazy.
Oh yeah,
like it's crazy. Like her first record has like one word. Like, I think it's called, I forgot her first record, but it's like one word. And the second record is like 30 like it's like very strange. But anyway, we shouldn't bore the audience. We'll come up with a title. We've done it 100 million times before.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So in case you're wondering, we probably won't do one next week because you'll be skiing.
Right.
And I will be, God knows what I'll be doing.
But I'm thinking the week after, and, you know, we're going to definitely have to have the missus back on.
Right, right, mm-hmm. Right. Yes, I have a lot of questions to ask the missus.
Yes.
We actually haven't done a threesome with the missus. We did a foursome with the missus.
Well, no, we did a threesome with the missus the first time.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The first time she came over.
Oh, right. Okay. Did you say anything in that episode?
I said a few words.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can build on that. So wait. So we did one with her alone.
Actually, no, we did two. We did two that night.
With her?
With her, yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And then we did two when she and Cliff came over.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm so confused about the trajectory of this show. It's massive. It's massive. Period. This is like, you know, a long history of this show.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I keep chasing the sun.
Chasing the sun.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
You keep skiing. I don't know what the hell you do, you know.
Yeah.
Did I exhaust every topic that I had?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. I think we did enough show.
Yeah.
Now it's 8:35 p.m.
Yes.
I have a big day tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday. Which is usually followed by Friday.
That's right.
Now, tomorrow I have a lot of weird, like, back-to-back internet stuff. Like, I'm doing, like, a Tony Robbins seminar.
Are you working tomorrow?
I am. And I'm gonna try to do a 5:15 a.m. class too.
Oh shit!
And then I got another another healing session at 6:00, and then Michael McDermott is doing his online show. I'm gonna be like glued to my phone.
Holy
for like
shit, man!
5 hours, yeah. But, you know, and then Friday's going to be weird because the show is on. You know, like, you know how it's weird when you have a show and you have a week in between?
Yeah.
And it's like, should I look at my lines? Should I not look at my lines? Mm-hmm. Like, right now, when I look at my lines, it's as painful as, like, taking a piece of shit that came out of your ass and eating it. That's how... that. I'm,
oh, wow.
Yeah. That's...
That's a great image, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I want the audience to think about this. But it really is, you know, it's so painful to just go over the words again and again, you know. But I'm anal, you know. That's why it would... Never mind. You know what? We'll edit that out. We'll edit that out.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, in life, we have to do things that we don't want to do a lot. And I resent that at my age because I just want to do things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like I was telling the missus last night, you know.
What were you telling the missus last night?
Oh, I was telling the missus last night, you know, it'd be nice if the human brain was designed in such a way that we could you could look at something and not just, like, you look at a script once, not just have it all memorized like that, but also have everything down about, be completely performance ready within seconds.
Yeah.
It's a shame that the human brain can't do that. You know?
Yeah.
That, you have to spend so much time doing fucking 3-hour rehearsals 5 times a week for something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, No, but unfortunately, things that are good take time to gel, you know? Yeah.
I appreciated it more when I was younger, but now I'm just like...
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I'm very impatient. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you still have some life to live. I have very few summers left.
Right.
So, you know, in fact, this summer could be my last summer. It's possible.
It's possible. It could be my last summer.
It could, but I mean, chances are, if one of us was going to die, chances are it's going to be me first.
Oh, yeah?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not that I'm wishing this on anybody, but I mean, if Martians came from Martian land in their Martian vehicle,
right,
and they looked at us, they'd be like, "Oh, that guy's gonna die first," you know. They would be like, "This guy has life in him," and then this guy, "Oh, this guy's like half dead," and then they'll just go back to their, you know.
Yeah.
That's a strange thought.
Anyway, as they say.
Anyway, it's been a fun time. I'd like to thank the people that stuck with us for the last 3 hours.
Thank you, British Mark. I'm sure you're changing your clothes now because you probably.
I think British Mark has now had a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
And now he's going to work. He's like, it's time for me to go to work. I don't know why I do that. I don't really plan this. I got you to paint the house now. He probably has like a little like a happy box, like kids type of school, you know. It says British Mark on it, you know. Oh, man. He's like, I hope I don't drop this. Oh my god!
But anyway. Well, yeah. Anyway,
it's been fun. And thank you. And really, why am I thanking? You know, you guys should all go to hell.
Yeah, go fuck yourselves.